Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Lord, do it. I said, Lord, do it for me.
Story
of a blind man that could not see. But one day he heard that Jesus, he was passing by. He said, Lord, stop by and lay your hands on me. Hey, and I can hear him saying this, and he said, I said, Lord, do it for me. Do it for me, Jesus. I said, Lord. Me.
Do it for me
right now.
Right now.
Let me sing the verse one more time. It's read in your Bible. I know you read the story about a blind man that could not see. But he heard about Jesus passing by. He said, Lord, stop by. You know what he told him? He said, and lay your hands on me. Ah! He said, Lord, he said, Lord, one of you need the Lord to do it. He will do it. As we stand all over this place, I want to call your attention to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 1. Father, we pray now that you would give us preaching power. Lord, that we might speak to your people, that they might hear your word and be reminded that you're God and God all by yourself. We thank you. We give you praise for these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Amen, amen. Let me read that one more time. I therefore, the prisoner, I don't know what's happening with my mic, brothers, y'all, check it out, amen. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk for just a few moments, and I mean literally just talk, amen, from the subject walk worthy, walk worthy. Nudge your neighbor, look at him and tell him walk worthy. Tell that other neighbor, come on, God wants you to walk worthy. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, ushers. The other day I was in the grocery store, and as I walked down one of the aisles, I saw this mother and what I perceived to be her son. The little boy was throwing a fit, amen, because he wanted something that I guess his mom had determined she was not going to buy. And when he realized that she wasn't going to buy it, amen, he reached up on the shelf, picked up a glass jar of pickles, and threw it at her feet, and glass went everywhere, amen. And he looked at his mama in the eye and said, you are so stupid. Now, I'm not old, but I am a little old school. And before I knew anything, since it looked like she wasn't going to do nothing, I had started moving towards him. Amen. And then I had to remember that that ain't my child. Amen. And I figured that sooner rather than later, she was going to put something on him to remind him why he ought not act like that. Amen. But anyway, they walked away. She didn't say anything. Amen. And I stood there for a moment, dumbfounded, imagining what would have happened if Joe Boy had tried that with Miss Lily Mae. And let me just tell y'all, it wasn't so much Miss Lily Mae, because she didn't do a lot of whipping us, but she would tell Big Willie when we got home. And so the fear that I had growing up was not so much because I thought my mama would whip me. Now, she would, but it anyway. But amen. If she told our father, we knew that we were in trouble. Amen. But guess what? My mama didn't have those problems. Because before we left the house, I said before we left the house. Now, some of y'all are with me. You know, you saved, but you ain't. You know, Solomon said, "Don't be too righteous, and don't be righteous over much," is the way Solomon. And what all Solomon was saying is that you can't be too righteous. You can't act like you already in heaven, and you're not. Amen. But there's this comedian, I think it's Lavelle, and one of the funniest comedy routines I have ever heard was Lavelle, and he himself mocks his mother, imitates his mother in her telling him what not to do, what you is not going to do when we get to the grocery store. You is not going to bump the back of my heels with that basket. You're not going to do it. You're not going to ask for anything. Amen. And we're my old school folk who know that before you left the house, mama would say, now we're going to the store, we're going to the mall, and she look at you and say, and I don't want any foolishness out of you, you bet not, not better, you bet not embarrass me. When you get to the mall, you better act like, huh? You got what? Oh, y'all know my mama. Amen. Amen. And of course, since I've matured and now know that the only way there's a chance of a child acting right outside of the house, amen, is that there first of all has to be some instruction inside the house. Where are my witnesses at? If there is any hope of proper behavior outside, it begins with proper instruction inside. And of course, y'all, that's why after God saved you, he purposely placed you in church. That's why after God saves us, he strategically sets us in the sanctuary so that we can learn God's will and come to understand his mind and his purpose so that we can go out and what? Change the world. Amen. 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 We can go out and change the world. Oh, my. It is God's desire to teach us while we're in the house so that when we go outside of the house, we will walk worthy of the Lord. That's all I'm trying to tell you. That's my central proposition today, that God desires to develop disciples through the church. There are a lot of folk wondering now, why do I need to go to church? Why do I need the church? Amen. Is there anybody here that's got enough wisdom, you got enough sense to know that, yes, we still need the church. We still need to come in the house so we can learn how we ought to act outside of the house so that we'll be equipped to be a light to a dark world on Monday. God desires to instruct us so that what we do on Sunday changes how we live on Tuesday. Because once again, amen, God wants to instruct us in the sanctuary so we know how to act in the streets. That's what's wrong with some of our children, amen. They need to get in the sanctuary so they know how to act in the streets. He wants to teach us in church so we know how to act in the community. He wants to teach us in the temple so we know how to act in town. Everything that God is doing in our lives, both personally and privately, is God getting us ready so that we can live like we know our worth. Is there anybody here, in spite of what your haters say about you, in spite of what that fellow who rejected you said, in spite of what that sister said about you that made you feel small, is there anybody here who, in spite of what folk have said about you, you know your worth, you know your value? I am somebody. Amen. Amen. I may not have a six pack. Amen. Amen. But I know I'm somebody. I know that I am a child of the Most High God. I may not be everything you desire. I may not live up to your expectations. But when you see me walk up in here with my shoulders intact, with that stride in my glide, it's because I know I'm a child of the Most High God. If you know who you are, you know your worth, why don't you give God praise? Because everything I am, he made me. Everything I have, he gave me. Give God praise today. So tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, we receive instruction in here so we know how to act out there. And so through God, and so God through Paul commands us to walk worthy. I'm almost finished. He says, therefore, stop right there. The word therefore is critical to the text. And whenever, my brothers and sisters, whenever you're reading the Bible, and you see the word therefore, you need to find out what it is there for. Oh, come on, somebody ought to say, preach, Pastor, preach, Pastor. When he uses the word therefore, Paul connects chapters 1, 2, and 3 with chapters 4, 5, and 6. Because what Paul is literally saying is, in light of what I have just shared with you, it now ought to be easy for you to do what I'm begging you to do. Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. The way in which Paul is able to encourage believers to want to do what we ought to do is pure genius. In most of his writings, Paul spends the first part of a book or a letter explaining to us what God has done for us. Give me some more volume in these monitors. Amen. Amen. He first of all tells us what God has done for us. And then after explaining what God has done for us, he then flows into what we ought to do for God. Paul shares the duty of the disciples after telling us about the doctrines of divinity. Let me show you. And I want you, when you get time, to read the whole book of Ephesians. Amen. So you can tie it all together. The book of Ephesians has 6 chapters. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, Paul discusses doctrine. Let me hear everybody say doctrine. Then in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he discusses duty. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, he divulges our wealth. But then in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he tells us how we ought to walk. Wealth, walk. Y'all, don't miss the alliteration. Amen. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Amen. Amen. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, he reveals our riches. And then in chapters 4, 5, and 6, he reveals our responsibilities. Because our duty ought to be a response to good doctrine. What we know ought to determine what we do. Do I have a witness here today? And the more we understand Bible doctrine, the easier it becomes to obey Bible duties. Because when you realize what God has done for you and the extent to which he loves us, if you missed Bible study this past Wednesday, you need to get with us this Wednesday because we're talking about what God's love will do. Amen. It will deliver. It will teach. It will guide. It will provide. And once you know the extent to which God loves you, you ought to come under a heavy conviction that makes you want to do what is right in his sight. Do I have a witness today? But tragically, I said tragically, we've entered the last days, and we have a generation of church folk, Deacon Smith, who are on some other kind of stuff. Amen. Where they know what God has done for them, they get excited about it and shout off of it. They sing about how God has delivered, saved, and made ways. Yet when it comes to what we are to do, we struggle. I said we struggle. Not because we don't know, but because we don't will to. Now notice I didn't say we don't want to. I said we don't will to. Amen. But you understand that everything you do is not because you're so smart. Amen. Not because you got a degree or you're highly educated or you had high rank in the middle. None of that determines what you're able to do. That's why Paul said if you got any sense, before you even speak what you're thinking about doing, you better say, if the Lord will. Because my next breath ain't even up to me. My next heartbeat ain't up to me. Amen. That's why, my brothers and sisters, we got to be so careful. Amen. When God blesses us, when God delivers us, when God teaches us, when God guides us, when God provides us, when God loves us, please don't get caught up in yourself. I don't know how many times I have to say this, and I have to say it to me. Be careful of pride. Pride will trip you up. Pride will have you thinking you're all that and a bag of chips. Pride will have you thinking that you made it because you were so smart, because you had the right connections. But everything I have been able to do in my life has been nothing but the grace of God, nothing but his mercy, because I don't know about y'all, some of y'all are a little more holy than me, but for every blessing I've had, it's been because he looked beyond my faults. And I said he looked beyond. I said he looked beyond. I wish I could stand here and tell you that I've been super holy. I wish I could tell you that and stand here and tell you that I've gotten it all right, but I mess up every day. Woo, but he looked beyond my faults, Deacon Thompson. He sees my needs. Come on, is there anybody that can bless him? for seeing your needs? Is there anybody who can bless him for looking beyond your mess ups? Amen. You ought to give him praise in this place. You got to be a dirty kind of person. You got to be a low-down, dirty scoundrel to know how much God loves you, to know how much he's done for you, and then not at least try to reciprocate. One of the most frustrating things as a pastor, as a praise leader, is when we got to stand up here, we got to tell you when to stand, we got to tell you when to clap, we got to tell you when to say amen. We just need some folk, amen, who when you think about. I said when you think about. I said when you think about. I used to wonder. You know, some of these churches, amen, whatever's happening in the service, and somebody will break out running down and go out and come back in, amen. Folk are dancing and all of that, amen, amen. But when you know what God has done for you, when you know how good he's been to you, when you know that he picked you up, turned you around, placed your feet, when you know he healed your body, ain't nobody got to tell you it's praise and worship time. You ought to come in the house giving him praise. You ought to come in the house telling him thank you. He's a good God. Give him praise. Everybody ought to have enough sense to be nice to folk who are nice to you. And after all God has done, personally, privately, individually, collectively, how could we not want to walk and live in a way that's pleasing to him? But many want the riches, but they don't want the responsibility. Many want the promises, but they don't want to practice the principles. Walk worthy. I said walk worthy. Walk worthy of God. Y'all, Paul says, in light of that stuff, you ought to walk worthy of the calling to which you have been called. He says, and here's the literal translation, in light of what I have just shared in chapters 1, 2, and 3, he says, I beseech. And y'all do know that word beseech means beg. Paul says, in light of what I just told you, I'm begging you, here it is, to order your behavior in a manner that's equal to and that brings honor to the God of your salvation. Not only does he set the scene in chapters 1, 2, and 3 by reminding us of our possessions. When y'all read it, you'll see it. He talks about our possessions. He talks about our position. Amen. Amen. Where we are in God. Amen. Your position. He says, walk worthy, to live a saintly life. And the reason we ought to act and live saintly lives is because he's already established that we are saints. Now, if you don't understand me, don't misunderstand me. Because this is where, whenever we start talking about saints and sanctification, that's when we get judgmental. That's when we start looking at folks and say, well, you can't be drinking that and call yourself a saint. You can't be going to that place and call yourself a saint. You can't be talking like that and call yourself a saint. Oh, yes, I can. Amen. Amen. I'm going to show you in the text. I'm encouraging you to order, and please, I said, if you don't understand me, don't misunderstand. I'm not encouraging you to do anything outside of the will of God. We all ought to be praying and asking God to help us to walk worthy of him. Amen. But if you got flesh on, I said, if you got flesh on, come on, look at your hands. If you need them, if you got a mirror, look in that mirror. If you see any flesh on you, you ain't arrived. You're not perfect. Amen. You don't have it all together. How do you know it, Pastor? I know because Paul says that sin has its movement in this flesh. This flesh trips us up every morning. Amen. Y'all know you get on your knees before you go to bed and say, Lord, I thank you for blessing me through this day. And Lord, I thank you that I'm saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I'm asking you to keep me all night long. Amen. You say your prayer. You get into bed and fall asleep. But when you wake up in the morning, the devil is sitting on the edge of your bed waiting on you to wake up. So he can misdirect you. Come on, come on. Yeah, y'all don't be y'all. Come on, take them halos off just till I finish. Just till I finish. Amen. He's already trying to trip you up to get you to do something he wants you to do. But thank you, God. I said, thank you, God, that I'm messed up from the flow up, but I am a saint of God. Thank you, God, that I ain't 100. But I am a saint of God. Now, you do know that etymologically speaking, the word saint is tied to the word sanctification. All right? And you know that the word sanctification means what? Set apart. All right? Now, let me show you. See, we have no hope, amen, of acting like saints if we don't believe we're saints. That's why he explains in chapters 1, 2, and 3 that all believers are right now saints. I'm going to show you, but I need you, those of you who walk by faith and not by sight, to just point to yourself and say, I am a saint. If you're saved, if you're saved, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you can point yourself and say, I am a saint. Here it is. Here it is. He says, we ought to act like it and live like it once we're saved. We are now saints. And one of the most difficult tasks God has is trying to convince disciples that we are who God says we are. And I need to stay here for a moment, because if we don't understand who we are, we'll never understand why we need to walk worthy. We've got to get this sainthood issue settled right now. Because if we realize who we are, it will immediately transform every area of our life. Here it is, the idea of a saint. When the Bible was written, amen, the connotation of the word saint was not the same as it is today. Because in the kingdom of God, in the New Testament, some of the worst people in the world are identified as saints. When God saves us, we die to our old life. God gives us a new life. And from heaven, he declares that we are now saints. And since God wants to take us to the place he wants us to be, he no longer calls us what we were, but he deals with us based upon what he wants us to be. Y'all remember, this is the same God who says, speak those things that are not as though they were. So it ought not be any strange occurrence when he says, you are right now saints. I'm not looking at you for what you used to be. I'm looking at you for where you are now. As a matter of fact, I'm God. I'm not even focused on where you are now. I know what you're going to become. Somebody ought to give God a praise for you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. Amen. He deals with us based upon what he wants us to be. Remember, this is the God. Amen. God doesn't view us the way we used to be. Folk think of us as we were.